Welcome to the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
All right, hour three, Home Improvement KMOX. Scott Mosby at your service. We've got beautiful weather. I mean, no other way to say it. Beautiful weather now, coming next week. Oh, gosh, this is why the middle of the country is so nice. It's the 70s, and it is beautimous right here in St. Louis. Phone lines for you, 314-436-7900, 436-7900. That'll get you from anywhere around the globe. Bring it on, bring it in, bring it often. Vote early, vote often, they say. We have had a two-hour show already. This is a three-hour edition. It'll be 3 hours for the near future as we go forward here on KMOX. 1 o'clock right after this show, in 1 hour, your retirement professionals follows me up here. Great day on KMOX all day long. Stay tuned. We know the families of KMOX typically started out with the day on KMOX and go to sleep on KMOX as well. All of those wake to music and good morning wake-up calls, many of you, like me, start waking up to KMOX. You can follow me on Audacy.com, A-U-D-A-C-Y, Audacy.com. You have many choices for listening to KMOX. One is KMOX.com, of course, right here, 1120 AM dial, and the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y.com. Take us anywhere you want. That's where I go back and listen to some of the various shows, and as well, listen live when I'm running around various places when I'm out of the listening area of KMOX. Much to appreciate here, KMOX, part of St. Louis history and flavor forever. How about that question, who's better, Stan Musial or Albert Pujols? Here's my question. What a town, folks, where that's the question. Oh, my word. When you have one class, and how about Yachty? How about a lot of class acts? Go all the way back. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. How about the Wizard? We just have such a history of St. Louis baseball here in the town, KMOX being part of it. And I don't know, like you, no matter where I go, people ask me, how about those cards? Well, that's why KMOX is here. Well, let's get started. Go right back to the phone lines here. Fire them up. I've got a very patient friend, Paul. Paul, good afternoon. Welcome to lunch on KMOX. Thank you for your patience. And how can I help, sir?
Yes, sir. I have a 1985 ranch house, about 2,300 square feet, on a poured concrete, unfinished basement. I had an open mine subsidence claim for about 15 years. 5 years ago, they declared the ground had stopped moving. They've surveyed it annually since, and it's okay. I'd like to get the house leveled. I've got the northeast corner probably dropped about 6 inches.
Wow. Wow. Yep. Good luck with that.
Well,
literally. The issue is, again, it's very much like Tom's previous call, the last call last hour, on there's really no warranty that a foundation repair company can really give you. They can give you a warranty that they did the work in a good way, but nobody's going to warranty that work on top of even a clear subsidence area because of the risk involved in that and previous situations. So there are companies that can do the work, will do the work, but you're going to sign a waiver that says they're not responsible for it never moving. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. I mean, do you believe that the house, are there companies with the expertise to level it some? I mean, in addition to shoring up the wall, that's the problem.
Oh, sure. The technology and the experiences. I mean, St. Louis, we've got a bunch of really good foundation companies. You know, Helitech has sponsored the show for many years. They're in Illinois. They know all about subsidence. These guys know their stuff as well as several other companies. So the expertise exists in spades. Now, whether or not they're willing to work on a house with mine subsidence. And for those listeners out there that don't know what that means, it means that years ago there were coal mines down underground and they settled and literally the soil out from underneath Paul's house dropped. And with it, the footings and structure of the house went down with it. So, you know, it's nothing wrong with the house, nothing wrong with the foundation, the dirt holding all of it up. Basically, the earth fell out from underneath Paul's house. So that's what mind subsidence is. I'm familiar with it, not fluent, Paul, but I can tell you that there are a bunch of good companies that know how to do this. Whether they will do it or not, I don't know.
Okay, well, I have a couple of them come out and tell me what they think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's these guys, they've been playing, they know the soil conditions, they know what mine subsidence is, they know their way around, so you're at least talking to the right people. I would call some of the more notable names that you're familiar with, because they've been doing this stuff all the time, and they may know how to overbuild it a little bit, whereas they understand mine subsidence, let's put it that way.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I appreciate your help.
All right, Paul. Good luck, my friend.
Take care.
Bye. Bye. That, here's one for you. A few more minutes for you here. Ask me, what was the best question I ever had on KMOX? And it was around mind subsidence. And if you're listening, the question was, I want to hire contractors to pick a box and move it somewhere where subsidence. And I'd never really moving houses as a stock and trade. There are a few companies from the listening area of KMOX that are a whole bunch of companies like ours that know how to lift up a house, foundation underneath it, and drop the house back down. But there are house movers that literally put your house on a truck and drive it down the street. Well, that's the same thing. But I had never heard anybody ask me if that could be done with helicopters. And, you know, he was smart enough to realize I'm in kind of a remote area. There aren't any big roads where you can do this. I'm in a mine subsidence area. I don't think anybody's going to drive a truck over here and put it on. But so the most interesting question I've ever had on KMOX in 25 years was, do you think I can hire enough helicopters to lift my house up and carry it away? And the answer is probably yes, but it'll cost you three times as much as building a new house in that new location and just leaving the old one where it is. So anyway, that's kind of how it is. The answer, I forget one of the old movies that was on Jeff Goldblum. I think it was one of those the Dinosaur Island. I forget the name of the series. Anyway, he says, just because you can, did anybody ever stop and ask whether you should? One of my favorite lines in a movie. Just because you can, did anybody stop and ask whether you should? So anyway, that's my little thing. But anyway, Paul, yes, there are companies out there that are quite fluent in how to raise your house, lift your house up, realign it the best they can. And it may require a whole lot of other work, because if you've got a house that moves 6 inches, the least of your problems is the foundation dropping down 6 inches. You've still got to get the framing out, the drywall, plaster, whatever that stuff is as well. Anyway, Scott Mosby, Home Improvement, KMOX. Stay tuned. We've got 45 more minutes here on University of KMOX and the KMOX Home Improvement Show. My name is Scott Mosby. We have some phone lines open, folks, here. 314-436-7900. 7900. I'm here in the Studio B in the corner, getting a little lonely. Give me a call. I'm just going to eat some worms if you don't call. Anyway, Scott Mosby, Home Improvement, will be right back. Middle of the thermometer, 70-ish. Oh, my word, what a day. Oh, and hang on, folks. Let the show begin. Wait till the leaves start changing after all the rain we had. Oh, the sunshine that's going on. Can you imagine how beautiful the leaves are going to be here? Oh, yeah, we're sneaking around. We're getting into October when the trees are, as they say down south, the trees are fixing to change. Anyway, let's go to the phone lines here. I've got some open phone lines, 314-436-7900, 436-7900. Bring your question on. I'll give you my very best and help you the best way I can. Let's go to my friend Bill. Bill, good afternoon. Welcome to KMOX. How can I help, my friend?
Yes, Scott. I have a total toilet that I have a little drip from the bolt that ties the tank to the toilet. It's very slow, but nonetheless, it's dripping there constantly. Yes. And somebody told me, hey, just put some epoxy there and, you know, basically weld it or whatever. But I'm concerned if I ever have to change the flush valve, would it be necessary to remove the tank from the toilet to replace that flush valve?
No, it isn't, but your concern is perfectly well-founded. There's a donut gasket, and it's called a donut. It's just a big, squishy gasket about 3 inches around and about an inch thick, and it's kind of a heavy foam rubber. So all you're after is having that toilet put, you take the tank off, you know, you shut the water off and you remove the screws and you remove that tank off of the base of that Toto toilet, and there is a donut. It's separate from the flushing mechanism completely. But if you're going to hire a plumber to do this, which I would advise, if you're good at this, then you can do it. But if you're going to have a plumber come over, just have him change the flushing guts and the donut at the same time, and they know all about this. This is it just comes from the donut getting dry, cracked, and shrinking, and, you know, just like a washer on a faucet, eventually it starts leaking. And no epoxy. I mean, you'd need a quart of epoxy, and then if it ever moved, it would crack, and you really have problems.
No. The dripping is not by where that heavy donut is. The dripping is, you know, the tank is tied to the toilet by two bolts.
Yes.
And one of those bolts is dripping.
Oh, those have gaskets too. Those are just round rubber grommets that are easy to replace as well.
So do you suggest that I empty the toilet, the tank, dry it up, and then I can just take that bolt out and put new gaskets and tighten it back up?
Yes, sir. And do the, you'd have the donut. Go to the hardware store or a plumbing center. Tell them what you're doing and get the model number on that Toto toilet. You may have to go to a wholesale supply house that, you know, handles a Toto, but that donut, and then there'll be two little, they're like fender, rubber flat fender washers that just, you know, they seal up those bolts. So you betcha, you're reading it right.
But do I have to replace the donut if I take that thing off?
No, you don't, and yes, you should.
So
yeah.
If I take the bolts out, I cannot just take one bolt out. I have to take them both out.
No, you can do that. Frankly, I understand your question on not removing the donut, but you can just loosen those bolts and then pull the bolt out, put a new washer on, put it back in. The issue is, I mean, you're just another set of hands away from changing that donut too. And if those old rubber gaskets are failing, then your donut's not far behind.
Oh, okay. Well, I know my son has done quite a bit of work with toilets, so I will have him help me, and I think we could do it. You know, the thing is that plumbers are rather expensive nowadays.
Well, if you can get them over there at all, I hear you, brother.
There you go. Okay. But normally I could replace the flush valve without having to take the tank off the toilet.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
Well, because I think I can almost put up with that little drip and that from that bolt, but I'm concerned what's happening when I have to replace the flush valve. Okay.
Yeah.
I think I got what I needed.
Yeah, your son, if you ask the question of your son, he'll say, "Oh, Dad, we're, you know, by the time we get this stuff done, we're so close to changing it all." I mean, it'll take you an hour to change those two washers, and it'll take you an hour and 20 minutes to change everything.
To change the other thing is, I don't know what flush valve to order. I can never find the right number for that unit.
Yeah.
I don't know if they are universal.
No. No. Inside the toilet tank, somewhere, Bill, there will be impressions, indentions in the porcelain that will have,
yeah, I have the number. I have the number of that.
And yeah, you need to go to a professional plumbing supply house. Go to a plumbing supply house with that number and a digital photo of the toilet and the flush unit itself. And they should be able to, they may need to order it, but I would hold out for, I like original equipment, OEM parts. Toto toilets are great toilets. They're engineered to work with that flush. So I'm not a one-size-fits-all guy. I'm kind of like you.
Okay. I'll go that way. Yeah. Order the originals.
Yeah, and it is tough to – I hear you totally. It is tough to identify and find that part because Toto, over the years, may have changed that number three or four times as they updated their catalog. So sometimes it's harder than it seems, but it is.
Thank you much. And by the way, your program is a fantastic program.
Oh, thanks, Bill. Well, you're part of it. Now you're part of Fantastic. How's that?
Yeah.
Right back at you.
Yeah, that's great. I've listened to you for years. Thanks again.
Glad to help.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Goodbye.
All right. See you, Bill. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement.
Goodbye.
Again, there we go. Bill, and that's an interesting question. I mean, he knows where the leak is. You can actually tighten those nuts a little bit. But if they get too tight and you break the porcelain, now you're buying another $700 toilet, because Toto toilets are highly engineered. Toto, Kohler, American Standard, they all have these toilets that are really nice. Toto's a nice unit. So anyway, you're better off being careful, and I would not necessarily tighten those nuts, though some people might suggest it. I've got some phone lines open for you, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. No more toll-free number. It's gone by the wayside. I guess technology and phones have zipped right past that. No need after, I'm guessing, close to 40 or 50 years on that phone number. I know I've been on KMOX for 25 years, and I've discussed this with friends and listeners. I've been on for 25 years. I know the previous two fellas that were on before me, and they go back 20 years, so I'm sure this show is about 45 years old, maybe more. It's kind of interesting. Anybody remember trading? Station with Bill Reeker here on KMOX. I enjoyed Bill Reeker for many years. 314-436-7900 puts us together. My name is Scott Mosby. This is KMOX, and we'll take a short pause and come back for more after this.
KMOX Weekend at your service, sponsored by Air Comfort Service Heating and Cooling.
Sunday night, it's St. Louis City 2 soccer action.
Right football in front. Oh, strike! He scores!
The Western Conference Final between City 2 and Tacoma. Pre-game at 7:15. And you can catch all the action here on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wrapping up the last half hour of a three-hour KMOX Home Improvement Show. Scott Mosby here. Very pleased that you allow me into your home and invite me back. Week after week, phone lines open for you to call in or invite me back into your home for a question-answer session, 314-436-7900, 436-7900. I am part of Mosby Building Arts, and this is our 75th year serving St. Louis and the Midwestern area. Very pleased to still be cooking and cracking, and I am surrounded by a group of tradesmen, architects, designers, and managers that give it their very best and deliver even better than that. So I'm proud to be part of Mosby Building Arts, and thank you for inviting me into your home. Let's see what's happening with my friend Phil. Hey, Phil, good afternoon. Welcome to Lunchtime on KMOX. How can I help you, sir?
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Yeah, I just had a quick question. Do you have a brand or a type of self-leveling sealant or caulk to go between concrete slabs that will hold up over time and seal the water out of those cracks to keep things from shifting around?
Yes, actually, one of the better. How much of this are do you have to do, Phil?
Oh, well, I've probably got a need for another 5 or 6 tubes worth. It's a pretty good sized patio, probably 25 by 20 concrete, and it's maybe 6 by 8 pads or 5 by 8 pads. So, okay, quite a bit of caulk. But I'm 2 tubes into it, so I wasn't really sure where to go from there because I was quite honestly having a hard time finding the same brand. So,
yeah, yeah. Are you? What are you looking to? MD Mecklenburg Duncan is one.
I had actually used the DAP product in the past, and it seemed to do okay. But it's been a few years, and I'm having to do some other areas. So I was just looking for recommendation because things have changed a little bit out there as far as brands that I recognize.
There are two kinds that we typically use. One is self-leveling, and the other is semi-self-leveling.
Right.
Self-leveling is almost like water, and semi-self-leveling is like pancake syrup. I like the semi-self-leveling a little better. We buy it from a wholesale house, Newway Concrete, NU-WAY. They're all over the St. Louis area. And they sell one or two different brands. But what you're looking for is a one-part urethane caulk. They come in the 10-ounce tubes, and they come in the 30-ounce tubes. 30-ounce tubes are the quart. You know, they're about 16, 18 inches long and about almost 2.5 inches in diameter. They're big tubes, which is why I asked you the size.
The bigger ones.
Yeah.
Are you used
to using the bigger ones? Do you have a gun for that?
I usually use the smaller one, and I do have a gun for a smaller one. That's kind of what I've been going with up until this point. So
yeah, and that's fine. For your patio size, if you're doing a driveway, you know, that's 70 feet long with 10 foot long, you know, 12 expansion joints, then it's like, oh, no, you're heading for the quart gun. So
Yeah, the bigger gun for that. But this, I think I can get away with the small gun on this one.
Yeah, yeah. It's more of a source thing. I know the big box stores have regular one-part urethane, and I've seen several brands on them. But you're looking for a one-part urethane caulk. They usually come in concrete colors. I've seen them at Lowe's and Home Depot. Typically we tend to get them at a Newway supply house. Because we can get our backer rod there. And this stuff only needs to be about 1/2 inch thick, Phil. It doesn't need to go very deep. We clear out the joints and put in a backer rod, which is just that foam rope stuff, a little bit bigger than the joint.
Oh, yeah.
Hold that up. Otherwise, you'll have $5,000 in caulk.
Yeah, I've used that before and had to use that in some of the areas, so I'm familiar with that. Yeah, I guess I was just looking for a brand that I could find maybe at one of the big box stores that would be easily accessible sooner than later. So
they're there. I haven't seen the self-leveling and the semi-self-leveling, but I've seen the one-part urethane caulk. Vulkem, V-U-L-K-E-M, is one brand I've seen. They typically have longer spouts on them. And it's kind of a silvery green, but Vulkem is one brand. MD, M-D is Mecklenburg Duncan. That's a retail. That stuff's been on the shelves forever, but you're just generically looking for a one-part urethane caulk, and I'm pretty sure the big box stores are going to have them. They may not have the array selection.
Right, and I've heard good things about the Vulkem in the past, and I kind of thought I might go that direction, but I didn't know if you had a better suggestion, so I appreciate your time and your information, man.
All right, Phil. Good luck. Good luck. Hey, if you use this, if you do find semi-self-leveling and self-leveling, use the caulk, the regular caulk first, because you have to plug the two ends of those joints. Otherwise, that stuff just flows off into the grass or makes a terrible
mess. Off the side. Right, right. I got you. I appreciate that. All righty. Thanks so much, Scott. Have a great one, man.
All right, Phil. Take care, friend. Bye now.
One
other thing, a little bit for Phil or others, that I really like that I learned from actually some of the people that work at Mosby, is dusting a dry sand over that. So if I've got joints of concrete that are old enough that need to be replaced, you know, I typically have concrete that's a different color than when it was brand new, and it tends to get kind of be that brownish tan, not really white. So with the semi-self-leveling and the self-leveling caulk, even the regular old gun-grade caulk of the one-part urethane for concrete expansion joints, I like to have just very dry, clean river sand, which is brown river sand. It's kind of a tan color. And as soon as we caulk that, we leave it just slightly short of the surface, and you just dust that sand on the top and leave it there. Push it in a little bit. It'll stick to that really still sticky caulk. And then the top surface of that caulk is not gray, which is a different color than the concrete. It's that dusty river sand color that is very similar to the color of the concrete. So that's one of the tricks that goes along with that self-leveling and semi-self-leveling. Phil, if you're listening, and for others as well. Let's see what's happening with my friend Judith. Judith, Scott Mosby here. How can I help you this afternoon?
Afternoon. I have a double stainless steel sink in my kitchen, and in one side is an incinerator garbage disposal, which is not new. I actually I don't even know how old it is. Maybe 20 years old. But I have had a problem with when I go to drain the sink on the side of the garbage disposal, it bubbles up. Yeah. The water comes back up for a little bit, and then it all drains out. And I don't know if that's because the incinerator maybe is old, or if I have a clog in the line somewhere. I do use on a regular basis in all my drains Ridex.
Wow.
But I don't know what the problem is. I don't know if I need to call a plumber, or if I need to think about looking at a new incinerator. I don't know what the problem is.
Well, you and everybody else has the same problem. I love the incinerators because they outlive us all, it seems.
I know. Mine's been in forever, it seems like.
Yeah. Well, the issue is the drain on that disposer is halfway up the canister. So when you spin the disposer, the stuff flies to the outside, and then it raises halfway up. So your disposer kind of has a standing chunk of water in it somewhat. And the pipes below your sink for both the other bowl and the disposer itself are probably just coated with gook over the years. If you're the good thing is those old incinerators last forever. The bad news is, like the arteries of us eating too many cheeseburgers, all those pipes underneath the sink also gook up with a bunch of stuff. You're doing it with the Ridex. That's the best you can do, but it may be just too bad. You may need to pull those pipes apart and replace them, because some of those pipes can almost become blocked over the time with, you know, grease and food particles, and you know, it just you know, where there's food, there's mess. You know, so I think your pipes may be resistant.
Does a plumber do that, or do they run it? Would running a snake clear that, or what?
No, usually it can be a handyman or a plumber, frankly, if you're going to replace the pipes, I'd probably replace the disposer as well, too.
Okay.
Not because you have to, but then at least, you know, if you can get a plumber there, kudos to you first off, and it's going to cost you just $200-$300 for them to show up. So
right.
Then, once they're there, you know, have them go ahead and change those pipes underneath and a disposal as well. And then at least you get as much value as you can for that money.
Okay, let me just say this. This house is 60-something years old, and I am not planning. I'm 87, so I don't know how long I'm going to be in here. So should I still go with an incinerator or maybe a lower-grade one if I'm not planning to?
Oh, I'd go with the incinerator.
Frankly, with the incinerator.
When I look at a house, if I see cheap stuff, then I assume they cheaped out on all the rest of the other repairs.
Right. Okay.
So
okay.
For selling that house, especially on that brand and such, I would do it. And you're sounding pretty good to me, frankly, Judith. So what if you live another 15 years? Now what?
Do you think a handyman can do that, replace those pipes and the disposal?
Yeah, if you can find a talented one, they're sometimes, again, getting a plumber. This is on the low end of skills for plumbers and the high end of handyman. So you need to, yeah, whoever you trust, call them.
Okay. So I guess if you call a handyman, you have to ask them if they know how to do that.
Well, if you don't know a handyman, I'd rather you call a plumber.
Plumber, you know okay.
Mean?
Okay,
yeah,
I really don't
with...
know one. I mean, I've had several, but I don't know for sure how they are at plumbing.
You're
so,
welcome
well, thank
to call
you for
Mosby.
Your help. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Judith, good luck.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And this is another one, folks. You can call Mosby Building Arts. We'll refer you to plumbers or electricians or heating and cooling guys. You know, we're happy to do that. That's part of the CAMWEX issue and family. We're going to take a short pause here, and I'm going to come right back for more on University of CAMWEX. Thank you for joining me. It's been an honor to come into your home. We'll be right back for more after this.
This is the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
All right, folks, stay tuned. 1 o'clock brings up your retirement professionals here on KMOX. Lots of things happening throughout the day. Stay tuned to the family of KMOX. Lots of things happening there. Stay tuned now. Let's go to our phone lines here and see what's cooking with my friend Clayton. Hey, Clayton. Good afternoon. Welcome to KMOX. How can I help?
Hey, Scott. How's it going? Thanks for taking my call here.
Yes, sir.
I have a mechanical room at my house that two, 3 weeks ago flooded. I think maybe our condensate pump went out and basically it was leaking and there were some filters stacked up in that room, and when we went to move them out, there was some mold on the drywall wall. The reason I'm calling is it's kind of in a tough spot to access. Is the only solution to cut out that drywall and replace it, or is there something I can apply to it?
Well, Clayton, how many times did it get wet? Because drywall that gets wet once or twice or three, four times is not a big deal, especially if it's kind of if it's just at the very bottom. If this happened a bunch of times, then it does need to come out.
Yeah, hard saying. There's definitely what looks like mold on the face of it. So I guess maybe that's the answer. Huh?
Well, here's the issue. Concrete is moist and it will wick moisture up if the drywall touches or the drywall or the framing lumber touches that concrete floor, and the framing lumber most definitely does. If you've got drywall there, oftentimes I suggest that you cut the drywall out and replace it with a piece of PVC, board, something that does not absorb, water. You follow me there?
Okay. Yeah.
So it's kind of like a baseboard. You can cover up the base. You can put a baseboard over the face of it, and it looks like everything's fine, but your drywall is still wet. Your mold is still doing its thing. But just be aware that this may be concrete wicking, moving the moisture from the concrete up into the drywall. That's where you probably have to pull the drywall out.
Gotcha. Now, it is a wood subfloor. It's on my main level. Do you have any concerns about the subfloor? I mean, it was holding water there. Do you think that's okay to just let it dry out, or do I need to replace that too?
Yeah, until you get to persistent water, if your condensate pump fails every week or something like that, then it's a problem. But mold generally is a quick come and go, and it's usually the mold is growing because of the moisture, and it's the food source is usually the paper on the drywall or the wood itself. So I wouldn't worry too much about the mold. If you are, put on a respirator, rubber gloves, get in there, scrub it out. It's unlikely that you have nasty mold for you from one wedding. You see what I mean?
Yep, okay. I do. Thanks,
right
Scott.
On. Go get him, Clayton.
See you, bye. Bye now.
Next up, let's see what's happened with my buddy Fred. Hey, Fred, Scott Mosby here, middle of the country, middle of the dial, middle of the day. How can I help?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Scott. Hey, I got a question. I want to paint my foundation. And I had seen an article on Ask This Old House. and they were talking about bricks and blocks, and they recommended putting a colored stain on that. Now, they didn't say a foundation, but do you got any thoughts on that? Can I just put a really good, clean that concrete, and then put a really good outside concrete paint on that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're concrete stained. Was it the Ask This Old House or something like that?
Yeah, it was on Ask This Old House.
I think I saw that same episode, and concrete stain has been around for a very long time. The problem with it here, Fred, is it's a little hard to control because part of your concrete might be really smooth and slick, and then some of it may be open, porous, and, you know, pox, and it's just like wood. You will have bright spots and dark spots. So just be aware that staining, though it's a really good choice, it does not seal the concrete, which is good. I like staining. But be aware, just like staining knot holes and heavy grain and tight grain on wood, you can have some big variations in color.
So you think maybe I'd be better off to go with a good concrete paint?
Well, maybe not. Here's if you like the stain and you prefer that look, give it a try because you can paint it afterwards anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
And
what
then
if
I
you
guess
fail,
I can get
then?
Colored. I can get colored stains, you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like paint?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Now, be careful. Some of that stuff is acid stain, so you have to be very careful. What makes it last long is it is an acid-based stain that literally gets in and kind of bonds, kind of tears up the concrete a little and bonds. So and that's the good part. That's why it lasts. I would not avoid the stain, but I would try a little bit around the back in a place and get used to it. Yeah. You know, maybe you do the back of the house or a side or a section first.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. Good luck. I think you'll enjoy the learning process of it anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
It may work out, Fred. Who knows? You know, if not, you paint the thing, you know, so what?
Yeah. Yeah. It ain't going to hurt anything.
Right. All right.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. Bye now. And again, you know, I like those episodes of This Old House and Ask This Old House. You know, I love that stuff. I can't help myself. Some of these guys I've known, you know, I meet a lot of these folks at home shows and around the country. Danny Lipford of I think today's homeowner is that. A lot of these guys are old contractor remodeler buddies that I've known for years. Let's see what's happening with my friend Matt. Hey, Matt, got about a minute. How can I help you, sir?
Hey, I guess we're just all things concrete. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, go for it, man.
Hey, I guess we're all things concrete today. I was just going to ask about sealing my driveway. Concrete's got to be about 30 years old. I was going to dig up the joints and put the backer rod and the caulk in there. To my knowledge, it hasn't ever been sealed. And at the same time, I thought maybe I could tint it to have, one smooth, you know, color. But I heard you mention to the previous caller about color. I guess I'm wondering how essential is sealing the concrete at that age?
I like it because it keeps all the... First off, if you're going to seal it, you first have to clean it at 30 years. You'd be surprised what color your concrete really is because there's a boatload of dust in. If you seal the concrete, the dust kind of gets in the way of the sealing process and all that. So I would pressure wash with a big round swirling thing. You can find those and rent them at home centers. But I would seal it, and I would seal it at 30 years old. I would use a silicone-based sealer, probably purchased from a commercial house, kind of like a New Way concrete. There's 10% and 20% silicone, and they do have, it's like putting tea on your concrete. It'll put a slight tint to it. All right? Matt,
okay.
Thank you for calling.
All right. Thank you.
Right on, brother. Thanks for the help. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement. Stay tuned for your retirement professionals. Coming up next on KMOX.